Today's scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Okay, we're going to test this. Amiel, can you just turn me up a little more? Wonderful. I think that one of the biggest issues that we as Christians face, not just in this moment in time, but throughout all generations, the biggest problem that we face is understanding this question. How does one engage culture well as a follower of Jesus? This question of how do we live our faith in the middle of this world, in the middle of culture that does not believe in Jesus, how do we act as witnesses to Christ, the gospel, and his kingdom in our workplaces, at home, in civic life? How do we engage the gospel well to a culture that does not know, understand, or follow the message of the gospel? This question has plagued Christians since the start of the church on Pentecost Sunday, as we wrestle with this tug of war, because on one hand, it seems like there is the option of being faithful to God, to being faithful to his word through the scriptures and his commands. And it also seems, on the other end, like engaging your neighbors well and being with them. Now, part of the reason why today so many different Christian denominations exist is because many men and women have had differing opinions of how to engage the culture well as a follower of Jesus. It is a story within the history of this church that we have also wrestled with. How do we engage Ogden Dunes and the surrounding areas well without capitulating to the culture of the day? Many people that were against Jesus and his teachings in the day were the Pharisees. They were the religious rulers, and the Pharisees and others liked to claim that Jesus did not follow the law, that he had come to abolish the law and the prophets, that he was just there to eat with sinners. But our passage today in the Sermon on the Mount flips all of that on its head, because here at the beginning of his sermon on the mountainside, Jesus addresses a question that is going to continue to follow him all the way up to his death on a cross. Is Jesus really faithful to the teachings of God in the Torah? Is he really faithful to the law and what the prophets had said? Now, to remind us where we have been in the Sermon on the Mount so far, last week, our passage was about being salt and light to the world, about being witnesses to Christ and his kingdom in the way that we talk and we act and we engage the world. It's important to remember this teaching of Jesus as we engage in this passage today, because these are not two separate items. Being in the world and engaging our neighbors and being faithful to the word of God. See, Jesus in his sermon links the two. That one can be faithful to God, his commands, and what he asks of his followers, and engage the culture well. I recently was having coffee with someone I respect, but I was curious when they said this statement. They said, you know, I don't really believe in everything the Bible has to say. I'm more of a Jesus person myself. And I remember sitting there thinking to myself, you can't be a Jesus person if you don't also understand and respect the scriptures as the authoritative word of God. This passage, Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20, is the best example that I can come up with. Jesus says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. You see, all the way back in the garden, in the beginning of time, God placed man and woman, Adam and Eve, to be rulers over creation itself. And we read that sin entered the world through the lies of the serpent, who made Adam and Eve believe that maybe God wasn't to be trusted. And this lie, that maybe God isn't to be trusted, is one that we all still struggle with, that we feel, and maybe we don't believe this lie, but there are certainly people that we know. Our neighbors, our coworkers, those we see at the grocery store, that through one situation or another have come to believe that God is not, in fact, good. God is not who he says he is. But Jesus, in the way that he lived his life, came to fulfill what we could not fulfill. He fulfilled all of the law, which was meant to help the people of Israel stand set apart from the rest of the world. You see, it's important that we understand that as Christians, as followers of God, who have seen God working in our life, who trust that Jesus is the real king of our lives, that trust that there is a far better kingdom than any other kingdom of this world. We have been called as followers of Jesus, as Christians, as the church, to be a counterculture to the world, not a subculture of the world. And this morning, I want to help us understand that we can engage our neighbors, that we can love our neighbors, we can be in the world, but not of the world. And that the best way that we can help move the kingdom of heaven forward, to help shine light to our neighbors, that there is a much better way of living, that there is a much greater king to pledge allegiance to, that there is a God who is for them. The best way that we can help others understand these truths is by us first being faithful to what Scripture commands of us. Jesus, here in this passage in the Sermon on the Mount, is calling his followers to live in righteousness, not to start picking apart the Word of God as to what commands we should keep and what commands we should not keep, but to be faithful to them. And in the next 6 weeks, we're going to see six different examples that Jesus uses, or case studies, of how the law has been understood and how Jesus isn't here to make things easier on his followers, but is here to call us to a higher standard of living. These verses say, you have heard it said this, But I say to you, do this. Being faithful to God means truly knowing him. It means truly understanding that God wants what is best for us. And so it begs the question, how does one read the Bible? What is the purpose of Scripture? When I bring new elders on, when the church elects new elders that are the spiritual leadership of our church, I love to sit down with each new elder and really engage them in asking, what is the purpose of reading Scripture? And I ask this question, and I ask this question to all of you, because it's important that we understand that the Bible is given to us that we might know God. Contained in the words of Scripture are what God's vision for human flourishing is. And the rub becomes that we all experience when what God says is best for human flourishing goes against what we might intrinsically feel like is best for human flourishing. Why does God say this and not that? A great example of this is the hard question of why is the ethic of marriage and sexuality in the Scripture clearly stated as marriage between one man and one woman? In this day and age, why isn't love love? But Scripture is clear. There are time and time again where Scripture repeats why it is important to God. And when we come to these points in Scripture that we wrestle with, that we don't understand, that the world around us says, no, this shouldn't be something, and therefore, if God says this, then maybe he isn't good. I want us to set aside those assumptions for a second. To remember, if we engage Scripture from the lens and viewpoint of Jesus, who says he has come to fulfill all of what the law and the prophets says, Jesus is the answer for how we engage Scripture, how we engage the Word of God, how we understand what the Bible is truly saying. Because we believe, as Christians, that Jesus lived the perfect life that we could not ourselves live. He fulfilled all of what the law required. In doing so, he is reversing the curse of sin. We now get to be adopted into Christ's family. We get to be co-heirs with Christ. And we get to engage our neighbors to help them understand the purpose of what God has asked of us. I also think this is really helpful for understanding what it means to be faithful to what Scripture asks of us. Later on in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 22, in dialogue with others, Jesus says this: all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest command, and the second is like it: to love your neighbor as yourself. Friends, God does call us to a certain way of living. Jesus calls us to a high standard of righteousness. Why? As we talked about last week, we are ambassadors for Christ's kingdom. We represent who God is, his rule and order, the message that he is for all of us, to our neighbors, our family, our friends alike. And therefore, we are called to a certain way of living, a call to a higher righteousness, so that we represent Christ and his kingdom well. The way the kingdom of heaven expands around us is by living lives that are honoring to God, by loving God with all that we have, and by loving our neighbors as ourselves. The way that we grow and shed light on the kingdom of heaven is not by capitulating to the culture of the world around us. It's by lovingly engaging the culture, by being a counterculture, by living lives that people look at us and go, something is different about the way that he or she lives their life. What is that? And I'm reminded of the very early followers of Christ, the very early church in the first 300 years of Christianity, in which professing Jesus as Lord was illegal in the Roman Empire because there was only one Lord, Caesar. Men and women gave their lives, we call them martyrs, because they would not bend the knee to Caesar. And yet, in this time, the church grew rapidly. Men and women of faith knew that it was important to live lives that were honoring to God. And while they did it in secret, the way that they lived their lives showed and said way more than words that they used could ever do. And so, how do we engage what Jesus says here? We engage this by taking his words seriously. Being people that live lives that reflect the change because of Jesus. The only way we can do that truly is to know God well through the scriptures. To not just engage the scriptures on Sunday when we come to worship, but to each day dwell in the word of God. To truly know God's heart. A few years ago, I was walking through the Sermon on the Mount with the church that I was serving in Georgia. And one of what I would call the saints of the church, this wonderful woman named Martha, invited me over for tea at her house one day and began to share with me how, while she had known and loved Jesus for most of her life, the Bible, there were sections of the Bible that never made sense to her. She wrestled with why God would ask these things of us. And because she had faith, she just gave it up to God, knowing that God knew best. But she said to me, "Austin, it is only through truly engaging Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount that I have begun to understand everything that Scripture has to teach us." All of the sudden, as we are going through what Jesus is teaching, these passages of Scripture that never made sense to me or I found offensive now begin to make sense. And I can see God's heart in it all. Friends, we need to continue to engage all of Scripture well, to engage the teachings of Jesus. And as we do so, as we use Jesus, the person that we know through Scripture, as a lens to understand the rest of Scripture, the heart of God will unfold and be revealed in his text. I want to leave you with this. A lot of times in sermons, at least when I listen to sermons, I can walk away going, okay, I need to do this better, and I need to do this, and I need to start doing this, and I need to stop doing this. And I walk away with a very long list of things that I need to either start or stop doing in my life to be a better follower of Jesus. And while there are often times where we need to walk away feeling convicted, there are also times where we need to walk away feeling celebrated. And I just want to take a minute to celebrate this church for making some hard decisions to value the authority of Scripture, to value the teachings of Christ, to value the solas of the faith, that our faith is in Christ alone. that the word of God alone exists and is our authority. These decisions that our church has made over the years were not easy decisions, have resulted in a lot of heartbreak and hurt, but they've also been the right decisions for us to make. And so, while the Spirit might be nudging you to maybe engage reading Scripture more, to engage our gospel reading plan that is available, maybe this morning you just need a message, well done. Continue forward. As we continue in the Sermon on the Mount, let us continue to allow the words of Jesus to change our hearts, to change our practices, and allow us to believe that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.